You know what doesn't make any sense? Strategically, I've never been in war, but what doesn't make any sense whenever you go to war, and like especially when God did it, what makes zero sense is like when God said, hey, before you go into battle, send out the worshipers first. In the physical, that makes zero sense, right? When you think about it, it makes zero sense. It's like, why would I send out the worshipers first? We're leaving them open for attack. Why send them out first? Like, strategically, that makes no sense. Oh, we're going to put the singers first before the fighters, before the dudes with the swords and the arrows. We're going to put out the worshipers first. That makes no sense. And then you start worshiping. And then you start worshiping by song. And then you realize, like, oh, I get it. See, it was the worshipers who set the tone for the battle. Yeah. Right? It was the worshipers who went before their enemies, and before they even threw a punch or launched an arrow, they said, God's got this battle. I'm not, you're just a physical representation of what's happening in the spiritual, so I'm not even worried about you. You need to worry about my God. Because he hears the cries of his people. And so I don't know who, listen, y'all, I said this in last service, the past 2 weeks have been nuts for me and just in my life, a lot of spiritual attack. But I'm realizing like, oh, the worshipers need to go first. So I don't know what type of warfare you're going into or what you're coming out of, but they need to start and end the same way. They need to start with a hallelujah, and they need to end with a hallelujah. If you guys aren't in the room and you're watching online, what happened in here, I don't know if you can sense it. Maybe you can, maybe you didn't, but there was just a move of the Holy Spirit. He just moved and just manifested himself in here. And it's nothing that, even though Victoria and the team, they sang great and beautifully, he himself showed up. And nothing will be the same ever again. Nothing will be the same ever again. Today we're ending our series called Now What? We started this after Easter because there's a lot of believers and new believers alike that I feel like after you come to Christ, you're like, okay, what does that mean? What happened? Like, I stood there, I cried, he gave me a Bible, and what now what? What's next? And so we went through the process of, you know that when you get saved, and if you didn't know, there was justification on you. Justification puts you in right standing with God, right? Just as if you had never sinned. That's what justification is. And then there's sanctification, which is the process of holiness that all of us as believers are going through, right? No one is perfect. No one in this room is perfect. Amen. That should take a yoke off of you. Like, you should be able to put down the mask and put down all the performance. No one in this room is perfect. We are all going through the process of sanctification. Sanctify means to be made holy. So I don't care what they look like. I don't care how together they look like they got it on social media. They are a mess becoming a message like all of us. Amen. Amen. Y'all act like we didn't have coffee out there. Come on now. And now there is justification, there is sanctification, and now the last thing we're focusing on is glorification and what that means and what that means to the life of a believer. Who here has never seen a Marvel movie? Yeah, some of y'all didn't raise your hand. They're like, why? What's wrong with you? Why not? They're good movies. Not all of them are great, but they're good. They're entertaining. You should give it a peek. Take your time and watch one. I love Marvel movies. I love my favorite thing that they do in those movies is that they always, most of the time, they always have a post-credit scene. So you watch the entire movie, right? You're like, oh, that was amazing. And then you wait a little bit and some of the credits roll and then they cut scene and it's this post-credit scene that's just like, oh my gosh, like that is so dope. What? And like people are so excited about it. If you've never watched a Marvel movie, you don't know the joy I'm talking about. You just don't get it. And that post-credit scene is something that's revealed that gives you some insight into the next movie or the direction that they're going in. And you're just like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. And so it's just like, it's just something that just makes the movie so much better. And if you're a movie watcher and you've watched Marvel movies before, you know that as soon as the credits roll, whatever you have to do after the movie, you hold it. You do not miss that scene, right? You're like, because you Google and you're like, oh, I heard there's two. So you wait the 10 to 15 minutes, even though you have to use the restroom, you're like, I'm going to wait. I ain't missing this. Because we don't want to miss it. And then it's just like, if you go and leave, then you're like, you're lost. You know, my wife already knows that as soon as this movie's done, we're going to wait. I'm sorry. You can use the bathroom if you want. I'm staying right here. Right? They gave you a big bucket of popcorn for a reason. And so, and I believe that there are some of us in the room who have heard and have maybe know that there's a post-credit scene coming, but we don't understand how it impacts us as believers. So we heard about justification, we see the sanctification, but we don't really understand the post-credit scene of glorification. We don't get it. And those are big churchy words, let's be honest, right? Sometimes you feel like you need to be a theologian to use those words, and you don't. But let me break it down. What is glorification? What is it? Why is it integral to the believer today? Glorification is the final removal of sin. Boom. If the sentence were to stop right there, it's perfect. It's the final removal of sin. It's the moment where we stand in front of Jesus and he reaches into our body and snatches sin out. If that don't get you lit, I don't know what will. If that doesn't get you excited, because the imagery in my head is that he just reaches in and pulls it all out. All the sickness, he pulls it out. All the insecurities, he pulls it out. Everything that looks like the world, he pulls it out and he does away with it. And we're standing before him like he is in our glorified bodies. He puts his hand in and he just takes it out. He's like, we're done with this now. This doesn't exist anymore. He removes sin from the life and the body of the believer to be just like himself in our makeup. What? To be just like Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about divine in nature, but it says that we become participators in his divinity. Do you know what that means? That literally, when he comes and he snatches sin out of us, the way God looks at Jesus in his divine self, he now looks at us because Jesus covers us in that. Yeah. He almost can't tell us apart. I've made you. You are now the image of my son. You reflect him. And we are participators in that glory. No longer is there going to be another sacrifice. Jesus was the final sacrifice. No longer does he look at us and he sees us struggling with sin. No. He says, I see that I've justified you, and in your life I've been sanctifying you, and now in this moment I snatched sin out of you. And now you look exactly like my son. You share in this glory. The glory that was on Christ Jesus is now on you. In John 17:22, it says, Jesus says, I have given them glory, because he's praying, right? He's praying in the garden to God the Father. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He says, I've given them the glory. So not only were you created in the image of the Father, he done and put glory on you now. Yeah. He says, I gave it to them. So that when you look at me and you look at them through me, you are pleased when you look at them. He put glory on you. You were made and crafted in the image of God. All of us in this room, we are image bearers. We look like God the Father. When he was creating us on his potter's wheel in heaven, he said, I'm going to make him look just like me. And then furthermore, I'm going to put my glory on them so that they can walk and talk like me. Man, listen, this message is not, this message is for the new believer who doesn't understand what this means. And you're like, oh my gosh, so there will be a day when I won't look the way I look and I'll be fully made in the image of God. Yes. And this message is also for old believers who kind of lost sight of the wonder of heaven. I don't want you to lose sight of the wonder of heaven. Heaven is something that you could never, ever understand until we're standing in it, until we're standing in his glory. We have been kind of taught poor theology over time. We've been taught when we die, we will then go to heaven. That's not the way it works. Good theology is we're alive and we now have heaven in us. That Holy Spirit, that deposit, that's heaven in you. So it's not I'm going to die and then go to heaven. God is like, I don't got time for all that. You guys got a whole life to live. I'm going to put my spirit in you now so that heaven can come out of you right now. Don't wait till you see me to experience heaven. You can experience me right now. I'm putting a deposit in you that's from heaven. Why do you think people walk around? Why do you think we struggle with addictions and struggle with image and we struggle? Because there's a God-sized hole in our heart and the Holy Spirit's like, the only thing that will fill it is me. I don't want to lose our wonder on eternity. As believers, I think sometimes the way we move and the way we talk and the way we operate, we've lost our wonder of heaven. Heaven is a location, but it's also inside of us. He says, I've given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. Why do you think when the church gets together and does things in their community, does outreach or we meet for church on Sunday, why do you think there's a glory in the room? It's all of us in our little glories collecting together to worship the Father and say, this is the glory you gave to us. We give it back to you. We give you all the glory. We give you all. That's old school church. The glory. We worship you. Y'all know that song? Can we sing that together? Is that all right? Sorry for online, you're gonna miss out. Who has the best voice in here? Or one of y'all start singing if you know the song. We give you all. Come on, keep singing. The glory. We worship you. Come on, give me one more time. Oh, the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You. So good. That's so good. Thank you, Father. In 1 John 3:2, it says, when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Yeah. All right. This blew my mind. It says, we shall see him as he is. We shall see him. You want to know why that's a big deal? In all the Old Testament, anytime God showed up, you couldn't see him. You couldn't even look at him. You would die. You would die. That's why when God told Moses, he's like, don't look at me. I'm about to pass by. If you look at me, he promised, surely you will die. In John, when he's writing the book of Revelation, he said he's caught up in the vision and he's looking at the throne of God. And he says, I fell down as if I had died. See, it's the sin nature in us. Now, when this glory comes upon us and our bodies are glorified, at that time, we can look at God face to face and not die. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. To look in the eyes of the Father and not fall as dead, because he says, my son's glory is on you. I want to finish the race strong, because I want to look at my dad and be like, thank you for all that you brought me through. Wow, you look like me. And he goes, I know, I created you that way. Thank you that I can look at you and not die, because you see me as your son, as your daughter in Christ Jesus. The glory that was on Christ is now on us. Tasha and I used to have a worship leader friend, and he would lead worship, and he'd just say, look into the eyes of God, and I'd be like, and die, you know? Because we can't look at it. If God were to come and manifest himself right here, we couldn't look at him face to face. Now, when our bodies are glorified and made like Christ, sharing in his divine nature, we can look at God and say, oh, God, what a day that will be. I don't want us to lose our wonder of heaven. I want us to look forward to the post-credit scene. I want to look at my Savior. I want to look at God. Do I have a couple believers in here who want to look at God face to face, and you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I almost didn't recognize you because you looked like my son and you're walking in all of his glory. I'm so glad. Welcome to heaven. I've been preparing a place for you. See, I never left you. I was working both on earth through you and in heaven. Here is your eternal blessing. Here's your eternal resting place. Man, I don't want to lose my wonder of heaven, because God doesn't see me as the way I see me, because the way I see me is filtered through sin. The way God sees me is filtered through Jesus. So he never looks at me with inadequacies. He looks at me full of his son. He goes, you are enough. So if no one's ever told you that in your life, you are enough. Jesus makes you enough. With all of your insecurities, he makes you enough. Why do you think it says God looks down on us and he rejoices over us? He sings a song over us, because you look like Christ. Christ's glory is now resting on you. We don't die and just go to heaven. No, we live because heaven is in us, because the heaven that dwells in us must get outside of us. The glory that's on us. That's why when people meet you, some of y'all, when people meet you, it's just like, man, there's something different about you. It's the glory that Jesus shares with me. I'm an active participant in that glory. And guess what? This body won't last forever, but his glory forever will. Even when this body goes to rest, his glory will keep on going on and on and on. And we will see him face to face. And we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to look away. We don't have to look down. We don't have to build altars. We don't have to have church. There won't be pastors. There won't be a need for prophets. There won't be a need for lay people, because he will come back and make all things new. I can't wait for the day when pastors are no longer needed. What a day. I'd be happily out of a job. Just go and clock in, clock out, be like, that's it, I'm done, you know? He's got it from here on out. The day when prophets are no longer needed. The day when the church buildings are no longer needed. Oh man, heaven's gonna be, that's gonna be a great day. See, some of us, like, yes, heaven is a location, and we've been taught, like, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. That is wrong theology, okay? I'm not knocking anyone. I'm sure your pastor did the best they could. That's wrong theology, because the way I read my Bible says heaven's coming back on earth. It ends here, right? When it's all said and done, God is like, I'm bringing heaven back on earth. I'm going to make it as if Adam never sinned, ever. So my dwelling place will be on this earth. You ain't going nowhere. Stay right here. He's like, I need you to be here. Why do you think healing exists? Healing doesn't exist because God just wants to show off. He's like, no, healing exists because I got a plan for you while you're still on this earth. So if you've been healed of anything, you got something to be thankful for. He's like, I don't need you in heaven. I don't need you in my location. I need you here on earth, Because I need heaven to come out of you. Because when I bring heaven down, it'll never be the same ever again. It was never the same ever again when my spirit dwelled in you. 2 Peter 1:3-4. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. What does it call us by? Glory and? Let's say it together, class. Glory and? There you go. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through Him you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It says that you may participate in divine nature. You are participators in His glory. He has given everything. He's given us everything we need for a godly life. This wasn't a thing of just like, all right, Jesus is great and you guys are just squat. He's like, no. I put His glory on you. We are these glorious divine dirt clods. And you're like, Pastor, that's a little weird. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. His nature says, I'm going to keep reading because it's good. It says, For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities increasing in measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you have to understand glorification is much, 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 much bigger and not even worth being in the same sentence. It's bigger than a makeover. It's bigger than a makeover. Glorification is not just a makeover. See, a makeover, right? Anyone ever watch a show, Extreme Makeovers, right? When they would go in and like make over a house in like 38 hours and then everyone, like the bus would stand in front of them like, move that bus, you know? And everyone's like, yeah! See, a makeover is highly dependent upon the qualities that are already there. God is not looking to give us a makeover. He says, I'm going to snatch sin out of you. I'm not making over what's already in you. I'm pulling out the evil that you were born with. I'm pulling it out of you. That's not a makeover. That's not a glow up. That's holiness. He's like, I don't need, because when you make over something, it's just like, well, there needs to be a foundation there. God goes, no, I'm not making you over. I'm making you new. You're going to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. I ain't making over nothing because what was already there was messy. So I'm going to pull it out and you're going to be glorified and you're going to look like my son. See, a lot of us, I think, and if we're really honest, a lot of us are like, I don't think I'm worth making over. I don't even think I'm worth glorifying. I'm so broken. I'm so lost. I'm so messy. And if we're really, really, really honest with ourselves, it's hard for us to logically believe in our minds and sometimes even in our hearts that we're worth it. It's really hard. But you have to understand that when you said yes to Jesus, He put you in right standing with Himself. He continued, He put in you, not only did He sanctify you in the moment, you're in the process of being sanctified. And being sanctified means to be made holy. So I want to let you saints know, be easy on yourself. Some of y'all are harder on yourself than God is. Oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. And God is like, just remain in my love. Draw close to me. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I love you for who you are. And we're so hard on ourselves, and God is like, and the Lord is like, I'm making you holy. It's a process for a reason. And then when He glorifies us, so right here in Colossians, it says, Colossians 3 says, For you died, And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. So it's not like, it's not like Christ saved us and then he's like embarrassed of us. I don't want you, don't look at them, you know. I'm still working on them, don't look at them. No, 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 it says that we appear with him in glory. That he brings us, not, he doesn't push us in front of him. He doesn't say, hey, hide behind me because I'm embarrassed of you. We come to next to Jesus and he goes, these are my brothers, these are my sisters. They share in my glory. They share in Christ's glory because I am in Christ. I am in God and I am in them. We share this glory. Some of us are so stressed out by our outward appearance. Right? Anyone get upset with themselves when they look in the mirror? I hate my face. I hate my nose. Dad, why am I bald? Your DNA sucks, you know? You ever look at your parents and be like, you could not pass down that one thing? Like, just hold that one, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, for me and for a large part of my life and like my mom and my family, like my mom is always like, you know, we got the fat genes on our side. And so I'm like, you couldn't hold that to you? Like, you don't want to just keep it, let that one leap over me, you know? And we get frustrated and we're so sad about our genetic makeup and we're just, and it just frustrates us, which is true. Everyone has insecurities about how they look. You look in the mirror and you're just not satisfied. If I was taller, if I was shorter, if I was skinnier, if I was bigger, if my teeth were straighter, if my nose was whatever, and we just pick on ourselves, and we just tear ourselves to shreds. And I want to let you know, no matter what you look like, it's all going to sag. All of it's going to sag. We're all going to look like leather couches at some point. It's okay. That's the beauty. See, there are some people who are like, and I'm not saying all this to be like, let yourself go and not to work out and not to exercise. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm saying. But because there are some people who have made the gym their God, right? You ever see them guys who got muscles on muscles and all they do is look in the mirror the entire time? And it's just like, and it's just like, bro, you love you. You love you. And then there's the other side, which I'm a little bit leaning more towards, where it's just like, what time is it? 11:30? Great time for McDouble, you know? And so that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about, right? You have to steward your body. You have to steward your body. Both of those things are good at specific times. But all of it, it's just, we're all becoming just saggy bodies. We're just all sags at some point. And I know for some of you guys, it's like I just spoke a sin to you. No, I just want to bring you the reality of life. What does it say in Scripture? It says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So yes, steward your bodies, but you better bring fire to your soul. I want to be renewed day by day. I'm going to get older. We're going to get slower. We're going to get whatever. Life is going to happen. But I want my spirit to be strengthened, my inner man to be strengthened day by day by the reading of the word, by prayer, by fasting. I tell Tasha this all the time. I'm never going to get old. I'm never going to get old. Because I will not allow the enemy to rob me because I'm like, oh, I'm 60 years old. I'm not going to do anything. No, I plan to be even more dangerous at 60 years old than I am at 30 years old. 30-something years old. I don't want to put my age out there like that. I'm 30-something. I want to be dangerous at 80 years old than 60 years old. I want it to be that the enemy looks at me and he goes, man, this guy is decrepit. He doesn't even move, but the way he prays shakes up hell. Yes, I'm wasting away outwardly, but on the inside, I'm a young man and I'm fervent for the Lord. You see, you guys have to understand, and those who are at this point in their life, if you're watching online, the retirement package offered to you at your job is a trap. It's a trap. Some of us are working just for retirement. That's a sad, limited life. I don't want to work for just retirement. Because I'm going to be transparent with you. Retirement's cool, but heaven is outside of your mind. I don't want to retire here on earth. See, the trap of retirement is, and they'll sell you this is a billion-dollar corporation. You got to understand. They'll sell you, man, retire, pay for your house, kick it up, go play golf, do whatever you want. You own your own schedule. I don't want that. And if you're a financial advisor, you're going to be like, don't say this. I don't have a retirement plan. And some of you guys who are finance people, you're like, what? Here's what I mean by that. My retirement plan does not consist of me spending time doing whatever I want. My retirement plan while I'm on this earth is to be going after hell and snatching those after hell until I can't do it anymore. And when I can't physically go there, I'm going to pray like nobody's business. So I don't have a retirement plan on this earth. My retirement is when I get to heaven. I'm going to rest there because it got everything I need up there. But while I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to be serving the kingdom. I'm going to be sharing Jesus. I'm going to do it so much so that the enemy just like, I'm trying to take him out, but he just won't go because I got a plan for my life. And I want to encourage you, don't lose your wonder of heaven. Retirement on this earth is cool, but it's deadly. It'll slow you down. You should look to whatever you got to do to figure it out. Oh, by 60 years old, because I can tell you the world is like by 65 years old, I plan to kick it up and take it easy. Don't take it easy. Don't take it easy. Finish the race. Finish strong. There are men who I met who are like in their 70s and then their 80s and some in their 90s. And though they look physically old, their outward appearance is wasting away. They are more on fire for Christ than I could ever imagine. I'm sorry if I just busted some of y'all's retirement plan. It was like, I was just going to go play golf for the rest of my life. That's not fun. It's really not that fun. You know, we want to know what's beautiful? Is that in my 60s to 80s or however long I'm going to live, someone walks up to me and was like, thank you for taking the time to disciple me. You saved me. Thank you for taking the time to pour into me. I saw Jesus in a whole different way. And because you did that, my family is saved and now my grandchildren are saved. Do something legacy lasting. That even when our bodies waste away, they're still talking about the miracle God led you through. It says we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I love how it says light and momentary troubles. It's like, Paul, you for real? You called it? Like, who here is going through something that doesn't feel light and momentary, right? It feels long and heavy, and you're just like, yo, what the heck? When am I going to get out of this? Why is this weight? Why is this bearing on me? And I realized the Holy Spirit told me this. He's like, it's only heavy, and it feels long when it's in your hands. When you're the one who's trying to manipulate it and fix it and find a solution, it's going to be heavy and it's going to be tiresome and you're not going to want to lift it anymore. And he's like, but when you turn those things over to me, you realize they are light and momentary. Because you get my perspective on it. You see, all of us are going through something. I know for the past 2 weeks, I've been carrying a burden. It's been a burden. And to be transparent with you guys, like, I want to thank each and every one of you guys who know about it. And it's not no secret. Like, it's not much to talk about. You can go look it up. But it's been heavy. It's been weighing heavy on me. I was praying. I was driving from St. Louis. I was in Missouri to Memphis. And people were telling me, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying. I'm with you. We're standing with you. And somewhere between, like, the beginning of Arkansas into Memphis, like, because I was praying before then. I was like, God, you got to do something. You got to work this out. You got to do it. I'm trusting you. I believe you. Jesus, come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I can be saved, so you got to show up, because I don't know anybody else who can fix this but you. And somewhere between those points of the beginning of Arkansas and Memphis, It's like I could feel the praise of the saints and the prayers and just me handing it over to God and be like, God, I got nothing else. There's nothing left in me I can do, so you got to do it. And in that moment, I just felt him just lift a weight. Now, there wasn't a physical weight on me, but I could feel him just come and just take it off of me. And he says, this battle is mine. This is mine to fight. This is mine. This is not yours. It doesn't belong to you. I've never lost. I know exactly what to do. I know exactly how to work it out. But you keep worshiping. I want to read you guys something that really transformed. And this wasn't in my notes, and it's a little off. I was listening to the Bible, and for some reason, I went to Job. And I shared this in the first service. If you guys know Job, in an instant, Job receives bad news in threes or fours. His kids were killed. His flock was demolished. Invaders came and destroyed his land. And here's what he did. He says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. See, that's why I'm bald. Wayne already knew. That's why he laughed. You're already bald. He says, then he fell to the ground in worship. What? Your kids were killed. Your property destroyed. Your wealth gone. And the first thing you do is you fall to the ground in worship. That's never my first reaction. As humans, I've missed it a lot of times, right? Are y'all with me? Like, we've missed it sometimes because when I go through calamity, I don't fall to the ground in worship. I stand up and I complain. I stand up and I bicker and I argue and I'm angry and I'm trying to manipulate a solution. I'm trying to work it out in my own strength. But Job, he hears bad news and he falls to the ground and he worships. And by the world, that is the weakest posture, is falling to the ground. But he says, I'm not falling to the ground in loss. I'm falling to the ground in worship. How many times are we met by calamity and crisis? Do we fall to the ground in worship? He says, physically I'm falling down, but my prayers are going up. Yeah. It was something in that. So I just was listening to it, and it just broke me down. Because I'm like, God, this situation's bigger than me. I don't know what to do. Where else can I run to? And it is just like Job fell to the ground, and he worshiped. And then he goes, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. May the name of the Lord be praised. And I want to encourage you today. I want you to understand this. You may be in a season with plenty, and you may be a season with not enough. But no matter what your stature is here, what your status is here on this earth, may the name of the Lord be praised in your life. Because I want to tell you the post-credit scene, that the Lord is for you and who can be against you. So the promises and everything that's stored up for you is yours. See, Jesus said, I'm leaving to go to prepare a place for you. I prepared this dwelling place for you. Don't let on earth determine your praise to your Father. Your place is secure in heaven. I just felt that. I felt that to the core of me when I read that. It was just like, wait, you fell to your knees in worship? God, I want to get there. How do I get there? And that shows me a life. See, that showed me Job spends time in the secret place. That his initial reaction to bad news and calamity was falling to the Lord in worship. And I would like to say that to me all the time, but the truth is it's not. And the truth is that's not some of us. We met with calamity, that's not our initial response. But God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that when crisis and calamity come, that we posture ourselves before you, Lord God, that the name of the Lord may be great through it all, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everyone said. It says, for the eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. He says, don't fix your eyes on things around you. Focus on the unseen. That's going to last forever. That's going to last forever. The glory that Christ has put on you through his death and resurrection, it's on you. That will last forever. Those whom you spoke life to, that will last forever. The spirit that is in you, that has heaven emanating from all that you do, that will last forever. Don't focus on the crisis. Don't focus on the calamity, because that will come and go. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and it says that the righteous run into it, and that will last forever. So, brothers and sisters, though we go through a hard time, it will not last forever. It is just light and momentary. And if anything, it's for your good. I can't see it like that sometimes. I go through some stuff and I'm like, man, why, God? Why? Why now? Why? Sometimes God is like, you prayed the prayer. What? I didn't ask for calamity. I didn't ask for crisis. I didn't ask for stress. Trying to lay back and chill. I didn't ask for that. He's like, you prayed the prayer. When? When did I pray the prayer? When you opened your mouth and said, God, make me into the image of your son. You prayed the prayer. You see, making you into the image of my son comes with glory, but it comes with suffering. You prayed the prayer. Oh, okay. All right. I want to close. I want us to understand why glorification is so important. See, yes, when we said yes to Jesus, there was a justification which made us in right standing with God. There's sanctification in which we're all in the middle of right now. It's a process of being made holy. But glorification returns us to the glory that Adam was in before the fall of man. It redeems us and restores us back to the point before Adam sinned. It brings us back to that glory where heaven and earth were in one and God walked in the cool of the day. It brings us back to that point where God can walk in our presence and we can walk in God's and not be ashamed and not be despised and not feel guilty, because he says, I put my glory on you. And then when we die, I'm going to glorify your body. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to redeem your body. I'm going to reach in and snatch sin out. Not only your actions, I'm going to snatch it out of your DNA. There won't be any more cancer. There won't be any more diabetes. There'll be no more greed. There'll be no more lust. There'll be no more insecurities, because I'm going to reach down and snatch it out of the entire human makeup and DNA. And the only thing that will be in you is my glory. I'm doing away with it all. I'm doing away with it all. It's because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we await this glorification. And we don't wait groaning. We wait with excitement that this will not last forever. This is temporary. That's why Jesus says, do not worry about the food or the clothes or what you're doing. If I dress the lilies of the field, how much more precious are you? There is not a single bird that flaps its wings that goes without me knowing. I feed them. I keep them. You ever look at a bird and be like, man, I wonder what y'all be eating. How y'all be alive? You ever look at, and this is like, how are they existing? And God is like, I take care of them. I hold it all together. How much more important are you? They don't even have a soul. But you bear the image of me. You are created in my image. You look like me. You are mine, and my son's glory is upon you. How much more important are you? It is because Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. At the same time, we can eagerly await this glorification. Growing up in church, and for a long time, I didn't understand that. Like, he was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And I never understood the significance of it. I was like, okay, everyone keeps on saying he's 100% man, and he's 100% God. What does that mean? Why is that significant to the life of the believer? You see, you have to understand, when Adam ate ate the fruit, and sin entered our life, he put death in our DNA. Death is in our body, is in our age. That's where a lot of sicknesses come from. Death sin was never a part of the plan. So because we're all men and women, we have that mortality in us. We have death in our bones. That's why it says we're wasting away on the outside. So Jesus now comes, and he's 100% man, which means he has death in his body. But then he also came, right? Jesus was the man. Christ was the spirit. He was 100% God. That means life was in his body. So when Jesus goes on the cross and he offers his life kills death. 100% man and 100% God. He brings death to death. And so that's why it says in Scripture, through him, through Christ Jesus, you have eternal life, because he beat death at its own game. So now that spirit that lives in us also gives us life. So death is no longer our end goal. Jesus invites us into life with him. I love the Scripture that says, death, where is your sting? Death, you have no victory. Because the only one who can beat it did. And he overwhelmed death with life. If you walk out with anything today, I want you to know that whatever you're going through, I want to empathize with you, and I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I know right now there doesn't seem to be a way out. And you wake up every day and it's not going away. You thought you can sleep it away. You thought you can talk to a therapist away. And those things are good. Don't get me wrong. Those things are good and they're necessary. But there are things that you must pray and fight in the spiritual for. Therapists do good work. And they could help you figure out the stuff in the physical, but there's stuff in the spiritual that they can't touch. And the only way it goes away is if you start to pray some fighting prayers. You have to pray like it's all on God, but you got to work like it's all on you. Because a day is coming, and this is my hope, and this is why I'm called to do what we do, and I'm called to serve and love and preach the gospel, because a day is coming when we'll look upon our Father and he'll look at us and say, you did it. But God, I messed up so much. I know. I'm not talking about that. But God, if you know, you saw, I know. You made one decision that was the most important decision of all. You said yes to my son. And everything that you did, he washed it away white as snow. And now you're going to look like him, and you're going to share in this, in his divine nature. I don't deserve it. I know, but here I'm going to place on you a crown of glory. The race is finished. That's my imagination sometimes. And even my imagination is not even good enough of what it's actually going to be. Don't lose your wonder of heaven. Don't lose your wonder of heaven. I pray that heaven, God says he placed eternity on the inside of us. That's why no matter where you look, this is where sometimes people try to fill it with addictions, money, relationship. If I could just fill this emptiness with things on this earth, maybe I'll be good enough. And God is like, that was placed there by me. And the only one who could fill it is the one who put it there. So we don't run this race for no reason. The crown is not given to those who give up in the middle. Press on towards the goal to win the prize that God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians. Press on. The crown of glory awaits you. And I'll end with John. I think John 3:16 is so apropos to end. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. And because you're in this room and because you said yes to Jesus, that everlasting, eternal life dwells within you. So don't be scared of death. It lost. You guys received that today? If you guys don't mind standing with me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray. If you're in this room and you feel like, and honestly, not even feel, if you know that your movie doesn't have a post-credit scene, if there's nothing to see after the credits of your life start rolling and you're just like, where am I going from here? What does life mean? If I wake up tomorrow, what am I living for? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Because it's not God's desire. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose it. So if you want to give your life to Christ today, or if you're in the room and you're like, I want to rededicate my life today, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Again, don't look around. If you're in this room and you're a believer and you're like, Pastor, I heard you, but I lost the wonder of heaven somewhere on this journey, can you pray for me that God reignite that fire within me? Raise your hands. I want to pray for you as well. I see you. I see you. I see you. Let's pray. Father, we stand here in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you begin to stir up all of the Holy Spirit inside of each and every one of us. We stand and decree, Lord God, that it is in your name, Lord God, that we stand free, Lord God, that we are justified, sanctified, and we will be glorified in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every believer today who has lost sight of the wonder of heaven and the magnitude of its glory. I pray, Lord God, that you begin to expand their imagination from what they themselves know. I pray, Lord God, for each and every believer under the sound of my voice, that they move and operate knowing that heaven's already in them and that wherever they step, heaven will come out of them. Signs and wonders will follow. Healings will follow. Prophetic words will follow. We believe in all of this. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. We can't wait to see you face to face. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you.
Thank you for listening to the Pioneer Church podcast. Let's go one step further. Subscribe and share this podcast with family and friends and see how this word changes their life. At Pioneer, we believe in journeying together. If you want to support this ministry, go to pioneerchurch.com/give to continue to help us to reach people for Jesus. Thank you again for listening, and God bless you.